Hey guys, good evening. It is Friday the 13th, July 13th, about 8:45 in the evening. I know I start all these podcasts with, "Oh, I figured I would just talk to you guys for a minute," and I apologize that for that because I'm not too terribly original. I'm just gonna ramble on for a little bit this evening. My wife is actually out of the state, off on some grand adventure, and I have to work, so that's fun. I figure we'll talk about comic books first, and then if I remember, because I'm terribly forgetful and never have a plan for these things, I think we're going to talk about music later on. So obviously comic books. I'm a big comic book fan. I started off reading the X-Men comics. I was actually given some old X-Men comics in 93 by a friend of mine who had a whole bunch of old comics. You know, he'd been reading for years and years, and he actually introduced me to seriously reading comic books and enjoying them. You know, when I was sick, my mom would, you know, get me comic books and superhero coloring books and stuff at the drugstore when she went to pick up my medicine and things, but I was never really into comic books until I was a teenager, and my love for comic books and superheroes in general did start with the X-Men, and I will forever view the X-Men as probably my favorite comic book, I guess, franchise. My best friend, he lived across the street from me. And was like, we were at his house one day, and he said, "Oh, hey, do you read comics?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, you know, I know Superman and Batman and Spider-Man, because who doesn't?" And he was like, no, here, check this out. And he handed me a stack of comics, and I started reading, and I absolutely fell in love. You know, it was these characters that felt really, you know, pushed aside by their own society and things, and they didn't really know where they fit in, and I believe I was 11 or 12. I think I was 12 years old at the time, and you know, just starting to enter puberty and, you know, those stupid teenage years and things. And so it really struck a chord with me, like I'm sure it did with a lot of people. And I would like to give some great grand analysis of what the X-Men comics are really about. Beyond, you know, superheroes running around in spandex and beating up the bad guys. But, you know, the truth is, I just enjoy comics for comics, you know. I don't look at you know, Clark Kent and see the commentary that Clark Kent is. You know, Clark Kent is Superman's commentary, and he is the epitome of what Superman, Kal-El, sees in humanity. You know, that's not what I'm into comics for. I'm into comics because it's stories about superheroes, and I will probably always be the little kid who looks at it and goes, "Ooh, yay, superheroes!" You know, there was here recently there was a video, a behind the scenes video, released for The Dark Knight Rises, and there's a little bit of an interview with Tom Hardy, who is going to play the character Bane in the film. And he said, you know, the first time that he went in and he saw Christian Bale getting suited up, you know, as Batman, he said something along the lines of, you know, there's a little 3-year-old part of me that went, that's Batman. And yeah, like, my brain just goes there all the time when I see this kind of stuff. When I was a teenager, I worked in a grocery store. I worked in 2 grocery stores, actually, during those years. But I, one of my favorite things about that is there was a small magazine section, and they carried comic books on a pretty regular basis. So I read X-Men and Spider-Man and Superman and Batman and the Hulk. I never really got into Iron Man, or the Avengers, or like the Justice League, the big team comic books. I never really got into those, but I read those for a pretty significant amount of time. And then after that, when I was in the army, I collected the little PX and the Shopettes and stuff had a pretty decent selection actually of comic books. And so I in our bunk, our room that we had in tech school, I filled up 3 bookshelves, mine and 2 of my bunkmates. I filled up 3 bookshelves with comic books that I collected and stuff. And one of the absolute saddest things I ever had to do was I had to leave those comics there. And I'm glad that I did it because, you know, it's a library of comics that I enjoyed, and you know, somebody would come in after me and get to read these and stuff. And you know, I can understand the appeal and the value of collecting comic books, but I don't love comic books to collect comic books. I probably will never be a comic book collector. I just love reading comic books, you know. So like I said, my introduction was to the X-Men animated series about that time, back in 93 or so, 92, 93. I watched that, and I was just absolutely enamored of the whole concept. And obviously, because he's an obvious choice, Wolverine was always my favorite X-Man, and Rogue was my favorite female X-Man. And so it was, you know, I really loved that. And a couple years later, when X-Men Evolution came out, which, if I'm not mistaken, was like the early 2000s, I believe. I think it came out in like 2000, 2001, something like that. I watched that, and that actually got me back into comic books after being away for a while. That got me back into comic books in a big way, and back into X-Men and the Marvel Universe. And I'm totally a true believer. I favor Marvel over DC. I can appreciate DC, and I've read some really good things that have come out of DC and stuff. And you know, DC's great and all, but I'll always be a Marvel man at heart. And I say man, you know, in as far as a 30-year-old who reads comic books and watches cartoons can be considered a man. But yeah, so I watched X-Men Evolution, and that's actually where I started writing. I mentioned it, I think, in my last podcast or the one before. I don't remember which, but I mentioned that I started writing on the X-Men Evolution role-playing board. And that's actually what got me into writing and helped me develop my own style of writing and stuff. And I absolutely love it. And I will probably never let that go, ever. That's pretty much the majority of my experience with comics. For a while there, when I used to travel for work, and one of my favorite things about coming home is I was making really good money, and so I could afford it. I had pretty much the whole Marvel catalog of monthly comics that they were putting out, a subscription to each of those. And so I just had stacks upon stacks upon stacks of comics. And it was really great. I had a really good time, and I will probably never get over my love for comics. And for of course, right now, like I said, I have no plan, and I had really no point to any of the last 10 minutes of conversation. So now we'll move on to music, and we'll do probably another 10 minutes of pointless rambling. My earliest memories of music, are church music, just because that's what I remember of that time. Being from Texas, obviously country music has been a big influence on me, and I've always listened in some aspect to country music, whether it was my choice or someone around me. I grew up listening to country music up until, for some reason, and I'm not entirely sure why this is. In second grade, I decided that I was going to listen to rap music. And I didn't really understand what rap music was about. I didn't really understand what any music was about because I was in second grade and I didn't know what I was, you know, I had no clue what I was doing. But I remember I would go into my bedroom where our we used to have one of those big large stereo cabinets that had, you know, it had the radio tuner and the record player on top, and then you know, two tape decks, and then down underneath it had space for records or whatever. And I'm really dating myself that I'm talking about tape decks and things. But we had that, and we had these two really big stand-up box speakers. And it was stored in my bedroom because apparently we had no room for it anywhere else. And so after school, I would come in and I would, you know, crank it up and crank up the bass as high as it would go, which really wasn't that high. And I would listen to, you know, early 90s gangster rap music and stuff. And I, you know, it was, I guess it was probably, that was actually probably late 80s. And so it was just, you know, I had no idea what I was doing, but I listened to rap music for a while as a kid, and it had absolutely no impact on me, other than probably driving my parents crazy. After that, I went for a long, long, long time. I listened to country music, because I was, that's, you know, that's the world that I lived in. We moved from I don't want to say the inner city, because that's not really the term that I'm looking for. I guess basically we moved from the barrio, kind of the Mexican ghetto outside of Houston, to a primarily white suburb in a rural area. And, you know, all my neighbors, you know, they all had horses, and they all did 4-H, and you know, all that good stuff. And so that's the world that I was in, and that's what all my friends did. And so I, you know, I listened to country music for a long time, and I still do listen to country music. It's never really gone away, and it probably never will. You know, being from Texas, it's you know, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of perceived pressure, whether it's there or not, to be the stereotypical Texan, where, you know, I ride a horse and I listen to country music and I chew tobacco and, you know, all this other stuff. And I think that a lot of that comes from the fact that we as Texans, or myself anyway, a lot of the experiences that I've had with people from outside of Texas have been kind of negative. You know, well, I'm from Texas, clearly I must be a conservative, straight, homophobic, severely religious douchebag, basically. And while some of that might apply, not all of it does. And I've kind of got a chip on my shoulder about it, and I know I do, but, you know, maybe I'll get over it one day and maybe I won't. But back to the subject of music. I listen to country music a lot, and I have phases with my music where I go and I listen to country music real heavily at one time, and then I get tired of it and I go to something else. But I listen to a little bit of rock and stuff and pop music and stuff coming up in the 80s, and like I absolutely love Phil Collins. But a lot of the music that was on during my childhood, I didn't really come to appreciate until I was pretending to be a grown-up, because I don't claim to be a grown-up by any of the stretch of the imagination. I listened to a lot of musicals growing up. My parents actually met in high school choir, and so my mom was always singing, and my dad would sing, you know, with the radio in the car. And it's actually really a shame that he doesn't sing more, because he's a fantastic singer. But my mom was always singing. There was always music in my house. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard Phantom of the Opera, the Andrew Lloyd Webber version. We had it on vinyl first, and then growing up, I'd say we probably ruined or wore out 10 or 15 double cassettes of that soundtrack over the years, just listening and listening and listening. And of course now I've got it on CD and I've got it, downloaded to my computer and stuff. And I absolutely love Phantom of the Opera. It's one of the things that I will always, always, always have in my head and in my heart that reminds me of my mom is that soundtrack. And so that was a really big part of my musical childhood was Phantom of the Opera. And there were a couple of other musicals that she listened to on a regular basis. I listened to the soundtrack for Rocky Horror Picture Show for years before I ever actually saw the movie. And I absolutely love the movie. It's by far, in my opinion, one of the best pieces of film ever made. So there were musicals, there was country music, there was a little bit of rock, a little bit of pop. I kind of sh I didn't really shy away from rap, but I didn't really listen to rap or hip hop music until basically until I started driving. And I got to pick what the radio station was set on. And even then, it was more crossover rap and hip hop and stuff. I listened to Top 40 stuff throughout my teenage years. My taste in music is just kind of general and broad. And even now, I don't have a specific genre of music that I listen to. I'll listen to just about anything at least once. I'll give it a shot. My wife is actually a big fan of like indie music, and I don't know if I'm really using that term correctly, because it's tough to pigeonhole some artists and some bands and musicians and stuff as a specific genre or something. But she claims that she's into indie music, and so I'm just gonna use her phrasing on it, her descriptor of it. Some of it I'm a big fan of, some of it not so much. She introduced me to a band called Death Cab for Cutie, and probably 80% of their stuff is fantastic and I love it. The other 20%, I'm just like, eh, it's okay. I'm actually very grateful for her coming into my life, well, obviously, because I married her, but musically. She's kind of expanded my horizons, and she's, I would say she taught me to, step outside of my comfort zone, but she kind of forced me to do it, and I'm actually very grateful for that. And so, now I think my radio stations in my car are, let's see, I've got two country stations, an alternative station. And then two top 40 stations, one of which is a little bit more heavily hip hop rap influenced. I apologize in advance if the feed just cut out. I just opened up my Pandora because I don't remember which stations I have on here. I'm looking at it right now, and I've got the oldest station that I have is based on In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. And it's got a lot of Phil Collins and Genesis, and it's got some Queen on there just because it's, same time period and stuff. And I've also got a Queen station. The Phil Collins station also has like a lot of Paul Simon and stuff like that, and upbeat kind of 80s music and stuff. And I absolutely love that kind of stuff. My Queen radio station is, oh man, I love Queen. They're one of my favorite bands ever, 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 ever. I saw a thing on the internet a while back, and it's kind of stuck with me in my head. And I don't claim to be this witty or articulate, I guess. But it was a picture of Freddie Mercury, and it said Freddie Mercury didn't die from AIDS. The human body is just not designed to handle that much awesomeness, or something along those lines. And it's absolutely true. Freddie Mercury's a freaking god, in my opinion. I've got a station that is a bunch of it's a cappella music. I think I've got like five or six artists that are in there, and it's like a bunch of college a cappella music and stuff. And I really love a cappella music. because I grew up on church music, and I actually grew up in a Church of Christ, was the first church that I remember. And I'll do a religion thing podcast here later, but Church of Christ Church, the one that we went to, didn't allow instruments, and so all the music was a cappella. And I was actually very fortunate that my family was very musically inclined. I'm sad to say it skips a generation, and I can't sing to save my life. I have absolutely no rhythm, and I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But I love to sing, and I will probably always sing, when I'm alone, in the car, entirely too loud. What else, musically speaking? I've actually got a station by for a band called Nickel Creek, and I absolutely recommend them, whether you like bluegrass music or not. You should listen to them because they are fantastic, and you just have no choice. I've decreed it, and it's a rule now. They are, I believe it's a brother and a sister and a third guy, but I'm not positive. And I obviously don't mean to diminish the third guy. He's just fabulous as well. It's very heavy, and I can't speak tonight. It's very heavy on the fiddle and the mandolin and the banjo and stuff, and they're freaking awesome. I absolutely love them. I was actually introduced to them by a lady that was on a Firefly message board that I was on, and I don't recall her name or why I was on that board or even what the board was about. But I mean, obviously Firefly, but I don't remember if it was a role playing or just a regular message board. But she introduced me to a song by them that it's called When in Rome. And you should totally YouTube it because it's fantastic. And it was put to some scenes from Firefly, and it was absolutely magical, and I fell in love with the band, and I've been listening to them ever since. And so I guess musically speaking, that's a whole lot of rambling that has absolutely no point. But I really appreciate you guys for, sticking with me, if you've stuck with me this far. I really appreciate you guys listening and being an audience for my terrible, terrible rambling for now 20, like 23 minutes or so. So I will let you guys go, and I think I'm gonna do another episode right quick where I speak on religion and my views on that. So if you're interested, great. If you're not, I apologize for wasting your time. Even if you are interested, I apologize for wasting your time. And I will let you go because the ending of this podcast has gone on entirely too long. So you guys have a fantastic evening, and I'll see you next time.